Because on the line, I have Green MP, Tiano Tuiono. Kia ora, Tiano.
Kia ora.
Nga mihi. Nga mihi, kia koe. And let's also say talofa lava, because I want to start by talking with you, Tiano, about your private member's bill that will reinstate citizenship for Samoans that are basically over 70 years of age. What has driven you to do this, Tiano?
Yeah, well, it was when we were at the last parliament, we were debating the apology for the for the Dawn Raids, so important. I remember those times as a child. And while I was doing that, Samoan friends of mine would reach out to me like a vessel.
Yes.
Reached out to me during that process saying, hey, man, while you're doing that, there's other stuff that you need to sort out as well. And for example, this was where the idea from the bill came from. So like Fessel had another friend of mine, Renee, had a couple of others, and they were like, hey, this is just the start. You've got to sort this other stuff out as well, because it impacted our grandparents and stuff like that. So it was my job.
Yeah.
So I put a members bill together and let's see if we can do something about it.
Yeah, because Tiano, let's just give a bit of a historical context here that a very brave young Samoan woman who was a kitchen hand, actually, down in Wellington, she was about to be deported and she got some local legal support and she challenged the judiciary at every level, including Martin's. Interestingly enough, going to the Privy Council and said yes, she was, and she was entitled as a result of a legislation that an Act of Parliament, she was entitled to citizenship, which meant all Samoans at that particular time were entitled to citizenship.
Yes,
and Rob Muldoon came along and purposefully changed the law. So that's fundamentally what happened, Tiano.
Yeah, I mean, at the heart of it is fairness, right?
Yeah.
So you had the Privy Council, the highest court in the land at that time, that recognised your citizenship. So it didn't establish citizenship. It sort of, Falimai Lesar's court case sort of had the recognition of their citizenship. But just a bit of history, because a lot of people don't know it, is that Samoa was previously a German colony.
Yes.
So as part of World War One, we administered what became Western Samoa that we now know as Samoa, and the Americans administered what we now know as American Samoa. So German Samoa, the German colony of Samoa, was divided in two. The Germans and the Americans were a lot better at administering Samoa than we were.
Yes.
So there was an apology in 2002, I think, from Helen Clark. If people that are familiar with that history, during that time, Spanish flu was going around the globe, and ship docked in Samoa, which resulted in over 20% of the people dying.
And New Zealand had responsibility.
It was our neglect.
Yeah, it was our neglect
total incompetence and neglect that saw almost 20% of the population die. Outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the history there is not good.
Mm.
The Mo movement were organising for independence, and then of course they won independence. They imprisoned one of their leaders, and he actually got locked up in Mount Eden prison. He managed to get out because Maui Pomare, amongst others, were petitioning the government to get him out. They got him out. That was Tupu Tomasese, who then got gunned down. Ten other protesters.
Tomasese the third. Basically, I don't think there's too strong a term. They identified him and they shot him, which is an assassination in real terms. That's what happened. Interestingly enough, Tiano, you talked about Helen Clark and the apology. It was actually quite a dark period, not only in terms of national politics, but Labor supported the Act. Labor supported the Act. And so what happened was that a little bit of history, David Longhi and Jim McClay got together and they drew up the protocols, and the only voice of one of the few voices of opposition for Labor was Helen Clark, which is pretty brave stuff for a first-term member of parliament. I'm not talking about Helen Clark, the prime minister, and the UN leadership, Helen Clark. I'm talking about first-term MP. You said, no, this is wrong.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
So the other thing I noticed, Tiano, and because I think this is a, you know, this is an iwi station, and I think that Whanaungatanga has a lot of interest in terms of our Pasifika brothers and sisters. But Tiano, you've done something reasonably remarkable in terms of a private members bill. You've been able to get Labor support.
Mm.
You've been able to get New Zealand First support, and ACT, the only party that's dragging its feet. National. First of all, how did you get the other parties on side, Tiano?
Very strong lobbying from the community.
Yes.
And if you watch the first reading, because you know, I get it from the perspective of government parties, right? I'm on the opposition, not in the biggest opposition party as well, so they wouldn't signal to me their votes. But I knew that the communities were talking to them and saying, "Hey, look, you need to support this bill." And so what I heard around the house is two things. One of them was around fairness.
Yes.
Any way you dice it, it's unfair. You had a group of citizens who said their citizenship recognised by the highest court in the land, and then there was a statute and piece of legislation which removed their citizenship.
Yep. So
that's just unfair. The other thing I heard was respect for elders.
Mm-hmm.
From all what I felt from most of the all the political parties, mm-hmm. and also. The other thing was the contribution of the Samoan community to the fabric of Aotearoa New Zealand. That cannot be added enough. And I heard that strongly right across the house as well. I heard nothing but excuses from the National Party.
That's right. In the piece I wrote over the weekend about Time for Justice for Samoan stripped of their Kiwi citizenship, I cannot think of a nation that has contributed more to Aotearoa New Zealand than Samoa. You know, without even thinking, I think I wrote down 20 names, and I could have read 60 to 80, Tiano, I think that, you know, sometimes if there's a historical justice, you just have to put it right. Do you think the National Party will change their position on this?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more than possible.
Yeah, I mean, like, the interesting thing was that when we had the Dawn Raid project, we met over Hansard with it. One of the things then the leader of the National Party, Judith Collins, talked about was when they had the ifonga, you know, they had the ifonga down at the town hall, the apology, and it was a Labor-fronted kind of thing as well. And she made the point was both Labor governments and National government that did Dawn Raid, so they both should have fronted. And she said that in her speech, and I was like, well, actually, she's got a point.
Yes.
The other thing that she mentioned as well was the SAT, the 1982 Western Samoa Citizenship Act. So it was on her radar. I'm hopeful that there is conversations that can be had with the National Party, because I think having all of us on board to sort it out would be a good thing.
Tiano, Bomber here. Look, I think we all salute you and your advocacy on this incredibly important human rights issue. And you're right, it is absolutely outrageous that it's taken this long. But to just go a step further, you know, we do have an overstayer population in New Zealand that bordering, I think, over 30,000.
Yes.
Many Pacific Island brothers and sisters who want to stay. When can we start seeing maybe a step towards giving them amnesty, allowing that shadow community to become part of New Zealand? Because it seems in my mind, certainly with climate change and the ongoing erosion of many of those Pacific Islands in terms of landmass, that this is going to be something that we are actually going to have to come to terms with in the near future about resettling Pacific Island families and whānau here in New Zealand. Where do you think we can move on the overstayer issue?
Yeah, well, in the last Parliament, we supported the Pacific Leadership Forum brought a petition to Parliament, and we supported that petition. It was an amnesty for overstayers. And they brought that in, like, in the middle of the COVID crisis, right? And I was like, this makes so much sense. Because I was talking to folks, right? And they were like, there was fear about going to access health services because they didn't want immigration to come.
Exactly.
And we were asking questions of governments. Hey, look, you know, amnesty for overstayers, done it before. It's not the first time, so this is something that governments have done before. Perfect time to do it because people are not accessing health services. And then what they said is, like, oh, no one will be discriminated against. It's just wasn't true. You had, like, a Tongan family, and Tauranga, I think, around the area, got asked for their passports. They nearly backed out and turned away. So that was something we did support as well. There was a Prime Minister, Theo May, and the Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands actually were advocating for a visa waiver access into New Zealand. Because we have visa waiver access into the Solomons and Samoa and other places as well. And that was something we also supported as well. Because you talk to some people, I had one elderly gentleman who lives in America, but he's Samoan citizen. In order to get, he has to get back home to Samoa. He's got to come from New Zealand. It's always got hassles with the visas. He can't get the citizenship because then he can just get home.
Yeah,
so there's this idea that people just want to, you know, just kind of come here and live off the state. It's just not true. And then it doesn't point to the fact that a lot of these homestays actually got deep roots into the community.
Absolutely. Hey, Tiano, I want to keep our Pacifica thing. Kanaki is on fire. It's been on fire for the last 3 or 4 days, and we're going to talk to people that are directly connected with Kanaki a little bit later. But basically what's happened is that the French have tried to impose a law by which the tangata whenua will be diluted. Without getting this into the situation or the background too deeply, the question I want to ask of you, Tiano, is what sort of leadership, what can Aotearoa New Zealand do to support the Kanak movement and to perhaps bring a negotiated end to the issues that they're facing on a day-to-day basis at the moment?
Yeah, well, actually, there was a demonstration here in Wellington in support of Kanaki Indigenous peoples, and so I went along to that, and they gave me a letter on behalf of the gathering as well, and that was led by Jesse Onai.
Yes,
and I'm not sure if you remember Susanna Onai.
I knew her well.
You knew her well.
Okay, I knew her well.
Yeah, that's her mum.
Yeah, Jesse will be on the show a bit later.
Yeah, so it was good to go along and totalk all them. As well, and there are a couple of demands that have come out from the from different NGOs and stuff like that. So, and then of course, as it is all around the world, you have the young people that are actually putting on the resistance.
Yes,
and so acknowledging the role of young people all around the world, but in particular young Kanaki people as well that are really putting the pressure on. And so, there's calls around sending a neutral mission to oversee and make sure there's dialogue in line with the Noumea Accords. You're putting pressure on the Pacific Island Forum as well, making sure that they are vocal in support of Kanaki rights and of Indigenous peoples' rights as well, calling on the French presidency to remove and withdraw constitutional changes that threaten Indigenous voting rights as well. These are all the different things that they're calling for. And so probably the question for me is, I'm keen to ask these questions of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in terms of what our particular role can be in that space, given, we signed a declaration on the rights of Indigenous peoples, but that whakapapa aspect is so important, the connection between tangata whenua, tangata moana, recognising our place and our connections in the Pacific.
Tiano, there is real concern from civic rights groups in New Caledonia right now that the French have been quite brutal in their crackdown. Some of the civil rights groups are comparing the crackdown by the French over the last 72 hours on par with what the Indonesians have done to the West Papuans.
Yep.
And if anyone knows what that situation, they'll be horrified by the comparison. When will do you see a role in perhaps actually asking the French ambassador in to have a conversation about these allegations of detainment? We've had over 200 arrests. There are, I think, four deaths.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of criticism that the French have kept it closed because their special forces that they've brought in have been doing some very, very severe violence. If once the country opens up a little bit more and we're able to get more access to there, is that something that we should be looking at as a country?
I think there's two things there. One of them is the part that people's movements play in all of this. So, for example, the demonstration that was organised today was by the government, or by parliamentarians, by the movement, and recognising that there is a very long history of civic activism. I'm thinking of the Nuclear Free Independent Civic.
Yes.
And those kinds. So there's that role there as well. Then there's the role and the tools that we can use here in Parliament, and I'm all up for, maybe putting something to the, for example, the Foreign Affairs and Defence Select Committee, saying, "Hey, look, let's get the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on here, and let's see what they're going to do, or what they are doing, and see where we go from there."
Yeah,
so using all those different tools that we have as parliamentarians. Yeah. But it's important to be guided by the folks on the ground in terms of what they want.
Of course.
Hey, Tiana, just moving along, two huge speeches from your co-leaders over the weekend. What do you think the main takeaways from those speeches were?
There's a lot there. People and planet, those would be the two big ones. You know, making sure that you look after the environment, throughout the environment, you're stuffed. And the concern that we have with the transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. This government is obsessed with tax cuts for landlords, tax cuts for the rich, and gutting the public service. Over 4,500 people are losing their jobs, and the place is going to fall over, mate. They just don't have respect for workers. So that concerns me as well. What they're doing in ECE, terrible as well. So I think the framing there for us is, hey, look, we can. Our focus is on people, and the focus is on planet. But this is what they're doing, and we need to actually organise against that.
Tiano, there seems to have been quite a shock from many in the on the left at just how extreme this government is going. And do you think voters who may have voted National, who may have voted New Zealand First, who voted ACT, angry post-COVID, very bitter, do you think they really understood what they were electing with this government? Because the surprise by the electorate at just how far right and how venal the policy is has surprised. And you've seen some of the most historic drops in the polling we've ever had since MMP. Do you think the electorate are waking up a lot more to what the National ACT New Zealand First platform is?
I hope so. I hope they're waking up to what they've got as well, because and people on our side of the political divide have said it. You know, running a country's not like running a company. You know, and that Christopher has been laid at Christopher Lutz and said, "Mate, I'm not your shareholder.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not your employee. You know, you're supposed to be the prime minister here. Actually, he's the deputy prime minister. He's got two co-prime ministers. David Seaman and Winston Peters are calling the shots here." And they are taking New Zealand in their respective trajectories. During the election, I remember I was talking to an older party fella, bus driver. He was National Party hard, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, "Mate, you're not going to do well under this lot. You're going to do worse."
That's right. You're absolutely right. You know, I always make it very clear that I'm a landlord. I'm getting a few thousand bucks in my pocket, but if you are a Winston Peters card carrying supporter and you're super irritant, you effectively got a cut in your benefit because you're not even keeping up with inflation. And I think the other thing in Tiano and Bomber, this bullshit culture war, attacking Māori, the rubbish private members bill in terms of the so-called toilet bill. None of that's working, Tiano. It's not getting them any political traction. I think Aotearoa's moved beyond that.
Put on the table. Pay your mortgage, pay your rent. You know, have a warm fuddy.
Yes.
You know, you want your kids at school to learn good, learn well, you know, just all those kind of material needs. So I think those are the issues that are front of mind for me. But also understanding that if you're in certain demographics, that becomes a lot harder for you. You know, if you're you know, if you're a trans Maori hard for you to get the job and all that.
You are at the front. You are at the front edge of having the toughest life and being the most abused. Hey, Tiano, we're going to have to leave it there, my brother. Thank you very much for the kōrero tonight.